Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. We have a very interesting topic today, folks, in that we're going to dive back into the alien phenomena, but I want to tackle it from a different standpoint today. There's been some news items in the last couple of weeks that I want to tackle from a different perspective. I want to bring back a good friend of the show who runs the Organization for Paranormal Understanding with Support, OPUS. OPUS is an organization that provides support to experiencers of every kind of paranormal and anomalous phenomena. And I've mentioned OPUS quite a bit on this show. OPUS really does, I believe, the Lord's work. They go out there and they help people who have had traumatic experiences. And I thought to myself, you know, I want to talk today about some of the trauma that's been going on in the alien world. Think about it for a second here. Luis Elizondo has come out in the media and said he fears for his life, his very life, folks, when it comes to whistleblowing. And he even had backup in his story saying, you know what? Yeah, it's true. Luis has reason to worry. And in fact, I'll cite the story here real quick before we bring on Les Velez, our guest today, who is the head of OPUS. And I'll tell you, this story in itself absolutely gave me chills when I read it on Supernatural News last week. And it's this. UFO whistleblowers are being threatened, at least according to Luis Elizondo. He says it can be dangerous speaking out about what the U.S. government has been up to behind the scenes. He claims he discovered that for himself after resigning from the Pentagon's secretive Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, or AATIP, back in 2017. He says recently he revealed that there had been threats against him as well as several other whistleblowers formerly associated with the UAP effort for the U.S. government. He was speaking on the Good Trouble show back in May, and he wanted to make it clear that if anything suspicious happened to him, people would know who was responsible. His quote is, "I would like to make this perfectly clear to the American people. I am not prone to accidents. I am not suicidal. I am not abusing drugs. I am not engaged in any illicit activities. If something happens to me or my family members in the future, you will know what happened." It's a pretty strong statement. That pretty much tells you, hey, I'm of sound mind and body. I'm not going anywhere. I didn't do anything. And if something happens to me, somebody else did it. Wow, what a statement. Now, another prominent figure who has spoken out about the issues is a U.S. representative, Tim Burchett, who is a firm proponent of UFO disclosure, who also happens to be a friend of Elizondo. His quote to Fox News was, "There is whistleblower protection, but it's a joke. And we know it's a joke." This is a representative who's digging in to the UFO issue, who says, sure, you can come forward, but we can't do anything for you. So what's the point? Think about the trauma of someone who's put their life on the line, who comes forward and says, here's all the information I have. Now I'm open to repercussions. Think about the everyday pressure of knowing that you've just put your life on the line. Representative Burchett also said, "Lou is a dear friend of mine, and I take any threat against anybody seriously, especially against friends and somebody that has given so much to this country and to this issue. So I'm very much aware of it, and I'm very much alarmed. I'm pursuing every avenue I can to get to the bottom of it." With that in mind, I want to bring in our good friend Les Velez. We're going to talk not only about this issue, we're going to talk also about the fact that MUFON announced that they have an event coming up here in June where they're going to reveal that they have real UAP material. There's an avenue we're going to talk about today. Plus, we're going to talk about other whistleblowers that have come forward from the past, from Roswell, and the fact that, you know what, everything old is new again. They've been doing this for years, and the repercussions have been real with them. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back to Darkness Radio, Les Velez of OPUS. Hi, Les. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you? Good to see you again.
Good to see you, my friend. So, Les, this trauma has been around for decades and decades, and real people with real repercussions have been living with this trauma.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, the Roswell incident, certainly such a well-known situation. People that have recently come forward telling their stories about what had happened to them back then, with regard to the government coming in and saying, look, you can't say anything. This never happened. If you say anything, we'll kill you. I mean, just plain, that's it. We'll kill you. We'll kill your family. And so you need to be quiet about this. But I've been living with this, you know, ever since the Roswell incident.
I think, if I can stop you for a second, I think we've always thought it was a story. You know, we always thought Men in Black were stories. I think we always thought the threat was a story. Why do we want to fictionalize something that's very, very real?
Well, there's obviously a reason that the powers to be, whoever they might be, consider this something that needs to be kept under wraps for whatever reason. So, we have two factions now. We have the faction that wants this information to come forward, a la the whistleblowers. And then you have the Pentagon and DOJ or the DOD that, for whatever reason, want to keep this a secret. And they make it very difficult for anyone to get to the truth because it's so compartmentalized. I mean, you could be talking to one person, okay? They may not know the story, but the next person might know it, but you didn't contact them. It is so compartmentalized that it's very difficult to get one person to tell you the whole story. It's just not possible, evidently, based on what's been going on and what we've been hearing from the Burchetts and people like that that have been involved with the congressional hearings. But no, this has been a factor that's been going on for a long time, suppressing people, not allowing them to come forward to tell their stories. But you get a lot of deathbed confessions from people that are saying, you know, just the opposite. Hey, something happened. I was there. I saw it. I had this opportunity years and years ago at the MUFON symposium in Albuquerque that I ran into the gentleman by the name of Glenn Dennis, who was the mortician that delivered the small little containers for the entities. And we had this incredible discussion. And of course, this whole group was sworn to secrecy. They were not able to come forward with it. But Glenn, you know, he was getting on in age already at this symposium and subsequently died. He was going to tell the story no matter what.
I think of the courage it takes to come forward and tell that kind of story like Glenn Dennis did.
Yeah.
And yeah. To say that, well, you know, not only are you taking your own life in your own hands, you're taking the lives of the family around you, the people around you, and saying, well, you know what, I'm gonna speak the truth no matter what, and I'm gonna put it out there and let people know that this is very real. But then we have to consider less, what information is it that we're putting out there? Is it just that these alien beings exist, or what information is it that we're truly putting out there? Because has anybody really suggested what our relationship is with these beings or what it is we're doing with them?
Yeah, it's evidently multiple levels of relationships. You have, just as we have here, we have good people on this planet and we got bad people on this planet. And the same thing is going on with evidently the various alien groups. And even within the individual alien groups, you got good ones and bad ones, because I've heard many stories where, you know, people talk about the reptilians being all bad. Well, I've heard many stories about them being kind and loving and all of that. So it's a real mixed bag. And then you throw in the hybrid process, hybridization process, the implants that are going on. it gets to be a real rat's nest as far as trying to, you know, understand the full scope of what's going on. What it is really is that we're dealing with a whole different realm. It's a different realm, and it probably involves consciousness to a large degree. And, you know, I don't know if I told this story the last time I was on your show, but, you know, somebody said I had this support group in San Jose when we first got started. And a person said one day, I saw you before. I said, where, at a UFO conference? And I said, you know, he said, no, I saw you on board the craft. I said, really? Oh, that's interesting. And I kind of blew it off. I have no conscious recollection of that. And then it was like a year and a half later that totally different person said the same thing. You know, I've seen you before. I said, where? UFO? No. You were sitting on this bench naked on board the craft and you were freaking out. They told me to go over to you to calm you down. And so at that point, I decided to go get regressed. Okay. And I had three separate regressions. Didn't find out anything about being on board a craft, but I had multiple past lives. Reincarnation. Okay. This just seems to be a very strong theme with the aliens as well. They say that's how the universe operates, through reincarnation. So as we start to really trying to figure out what's going on, you throw that into the mix as well, and you start scratching your head and saying, all right, these people are being contacted by these non-human intelligences. Some of them are being probed, samples taken of their blood, urine, semen, eggs, you name it. And then supposedly there's a hybridization process that's going on. Why is that happening? You know, what's the agenda for that? Are they slowly taking us over by having these hybrids that are so incredibly like us that you can't tell them apart? Can't tell us apart. And then you have the other scenario where it's basically a way to take over peacefully. Mm-hmm. So of course, these people are going through major trauma.
Yes.
In the process, which is what we want to talk about today more, mm-hmm. about the trauma that's involved with all of this. They're not coming out with their ray guns and, you know, blowing up places and having to take over in that way. This may be the way this we're going, and that we're going to, you know, evolve in some way, shape or form, which is a whole nother scenario where did they manipulate our genes to get us to where we are now? That's a distinct possibility. If you listen to Gary Nolan at Stanford University, when he talks about the fact that, well, the planet supposedly is 4.5 billion years old and our genome mutates about every 600,000 years. So based on where we were and where we are now, the planet is either really 9 billion years old or somebody screwed with our genes, our DNA, way back when. And so now this is why people are being followed. And it runs in families how they, you know, people ask, well, why me? Well, the answer might be the fact that their experiment, they're following it and they continue to follow it for eons. You know, how did they do? How did we do? It's fascinating. It's fascinating.
You know, I've had demonologist Nathaniel Gillis on the program many times, and mm-hmm. He doesn't necessarily throw a biblical slant to it, but it's more of a theological slant to it. And it's mm-hmm. one of the more chilling slants I've heard, Les. And that is, he believes that there's more of a demonic alien connection than we know. And that this could be a demonic that puts an alien face to things because it's more friendly. And really what it's looking for is it's looking to attach itself to a human solar presence because it has none. So in mm-hmm. order to breed with us, it at that point has a soul, or it's able to acquire a soul.
We've had people come to us with demonic possession. It is real. There's no question about it. you don't hear about it as much because it's a very scary topic. But you know, we try to help these people as best we can. In a lot of cases, it requires an exorcism. And that's an interesting fact in and of itself, because there's been many books written about the fact that, well, you can stop this abduction by these non-human entities by invoking the name of Jesus Christ. And that to me is extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Just the name itself, or is it the fact that the person has the will and strength to say no, that I don't want this to happen anymore? And what I've found over the years is that a lot of people come to us and say, hey, I want this to stop. And we suggest what they need to do. But then there's a curiosity factor that they truly still want to understand what's going on and why it's happening. And that opens them up to further contact and more experiences. But the demonic portion of this stuff, I think, is real. It's very real. I've heard so many stories along those lines. In a lot of cases, matter of fact, I interviewed a person that's, the interview is on our website, actually, and where she was living in this house, and there was not only a ghost there of a young boy, but there was also a demon, a really nasty one. And they could never get the demon out of the house. They were able to send the young boy, the ghost, off to the next realm. But they could not get rid of the demon. And they found out that there was a ley line that was going underneath the house.
Really?
And that not only that house, but houses, a couple of houses down also had demonic things going on. And so she was never able, as I say, to get rid of it. She finally sold the house. And then found out later from the neighbors that whoever moved in there afterwards also got out of there. And it's like, you don't want to be in this house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The other thing that Nathaniel brings up that I think you'll find interesting, Les, and I really do think I need to somehow get the two of you in a room together or over Zoom together or something, is Nathaniel has had himself many, many encounters with this demonic / alien being.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, it rejects all religious symbols and names. So what it will do is use these symbols against the person it's attacking. So if it tries to hold up a cross and tries to use that, or tries to use the name of Christ, it'll throw it against it. If it tries to use a religious symbol from the Jewish religion, or from the Buddhist religion, or from anything, it will carve it into its skin, into that person's skin. It's a different, higher form of demonic that I don't think I've ever seen before, or nor has Nathaniel. And he's brought it up with many demonologists over in Europe, and other demonologists around the world. And it is frightening. And
yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of times you have people having scratches all over their bodies, on their backs, in various areas, and you know, where it draws blood. I mean, and that's something. How the hell can you fathom that going on? Mm-hmm. And you don't see anything, you don't feel anything until you get scratched, and you take your shirt off, and there it is. You've got claw marks down your back. So it's a different frequency that we're dealing with here. It's a different realm. It's a different, whatever you can call it. And we don't understand it. But these rituals that are meant to expel these demons does work most of the time.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And it's funny. He says there's different things like iron that will dispel it. I mean, there's, again, there's different rituals and different ways to get rid of different things. So again, and we're kind of offshooting a little bit on topics, and that's okay. But it, again, different strokes for different folks, I guess. But the fact that this thing disguises itself as an alien, he's talked about on this show, and again, the archives are here. And
did he explain what the alien looked like?
He did. I'm trying to remember if it at times it would disguise itself as a gray. At times it would disguise itself as a different type of alien. So it, at one point it would look demonic and it would turn and it would all of a sudden look like an alien. And then it would turn again and look like a demonic. It would change its face.
Right.
So yeah, it would change itself into whatever you would feel comfortable with.
Yeah. Shape shifting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah,
that's common. I mean, even with regular non-demonic aliens, that they're able to, give you an image that you may be more comfortable with.
Yeah.
Like an owl, for instance.
Right.
Or who knows, a deer. I've had stories about people camping and all of a sudden a group of deer will come into camp and then one person will not only see the deer, but then also an entity mixed in with them or part of them. So it gets really complicated fast.
That is creepy. That in itself is creepy. That's for sure. That's for sure. So we're talking about trauma today, and we're talking about different types of trauma, and one of the things that came up last week was the fact that MUFON is having a live event in which they claim they have UAP material that they're going to unveil, real UAP material. They claim this is going to be the event of the summer, so to speak, and that they're actually going to... they're actually going to unveil this material. I actually have the story here in front of me, Les. Let me bring it up here.
Okay.
And I can give a little more detail as to what exactly this this story says. Now, MUFON claims in this story that they say it's going to be the most important UAP-related presentation it's ever made. This event is on July 13th this summer. The presentation will center on alleged UAP material that the organization received from a Russian UFO investigator and that had also reportedly been the subject of an attempted cover-up. According to the press release, the material was tested both in Russia and at a lab in the U.S., with both investigations revealing it to be of unknown origin. Some samples of the material were also reportedly stolen from a U.S. post office box before they could be retrieved by MUFON investigator Robert Spearing. Further investigation of the theft was hampered by the fact that CCTV cameras had been tampered with. This is typical with evidence of this nature, said MUFON Media Relations Director Ron James. We believe that this material was deliberately taken by someone who could hack into a locked post office box to prevent further testing. Who did it is anybody's guess. The evidence that supports this story and others that we will share at the symposium could make this the biggest UFO-related news of the year. This is according to them. We have physical materials and more evidence of non-human technology. Now, MUFON says that it will reveal its findings on Saturday, July 13th at 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. I'm curious as to your thoughts. I mean, this may be the first time you're hearing this story, but
no, I'm aware of the story, and it's remarkable in the sense that they were able to get documentation from two separate labs, and so there's corroborating evidence, which is great. The MUFON Symposium is being held at the Dallas-Fort Worth Marriott in Irving, Texas. And it actually runs from the 12th through the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still time to register if people are interested in going to the MUFON Symposium. They're also doing a streaming service, so you don't have to physically go there. You can get online and sign up for that. I don't know the people or the labs that were involved. I don't know that at this point, but I will be there. Opus will actually have a table in the exhibitor area, and so I'll be sitting there hawking my book, The Unknown Other and the Existential Proposition of Alien Contact, which is on Amazon.
Okay.
And we're also looking for people that might be interested in being a control group for a study that we're in the middle of right now, called the Omega 4 study. These are people that have not had an experience that would be willing to take a questionnaire, do a questionnaire. So that's one thing that I'd like to put out there. And then the other thing is that we're always looking for more mental health practitioners, more certified hypnotherapists, people that are familiar with the topic that we're talking about today, in order to help these people. Because with all these revelations that are coming forward now, with the various groups and whistleblowers, that people are starting to understand that this is confirmation for them that they've been dealing with something very real. Mm-hmm. And so they may need help to be able to process that information that now they're getting. So we stand ready to do that.
I have to ask you this, Les, and again, we'll put up links not only to your book, but if you'd like, we can put up a link to that study as well if people are interested in getting involved with that study.
If you go to our document and article section, you'll see the Omega-3 study, which we did actually in conjunction with MUFON back in around 2007. And then the Omega-4 study, the first part of it is on there, where we actually went out to therapists and got their feedback on what they were dealing with their patients. And now we're in the second phase of the Omega-4 study, where we're actually looking to work with the clients of these therapists. So that's another thing that's going on.
Excellent. I wonder, when it comes to people who have survived an experience, when they read a story like that, does it trigger something when they see that there's actual evidence, or that, you know, even if an organization as esteemed as MUFON, when they come out and say, you know, we have this big story, when there's a big unveiling, when they say, you know, there's going to be a news event of some sort, is this like unveiling, you know, is this like saying, you know, we're going to break out your predator one more time? Is this like saying, you know, we're going to parade out the predator and celebrate them? Is this a dark day for survivors?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
And it really depends on the individual. Some individuals have been able to process what's gone on with them without any help. Then there's others that do need help. And those people that do need the help may have, you know, it's like maybe they're trying to bury this in their conscience. And so now when these things are being brought up, it's bringing that back up to them again. And so it may be re-traumatizing them in a way. But if that's the case, then of course, that's why we're here to try to help them get over that hump and be able to process it in a way that's going to help them in the long run. A lot of these people are suffering from PTSD, and so there are definite ways to work with people and have that situation going on, and we have the kind of people that can understand and work with that.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's take our break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about trust. Trust is part of trauma as well. And interestingly enough, when we talked about a little bit about Luis Elizondo, trust works into this as well. You know, you talk about someone who comes forward and they put their trust on the line as well. They put a certain amount of trust into what it is they're doing. They trust that someone is going to hold on to the information that they put forward and that they're going to do something with it. I want to talk to you a little bit when we come back from the break, Les, about what AARO did and Sean Kirkpatrick in particular, and what's been done with this information, what's been done with everything, and the trust not only of the people who put that information forward, but now the trust of the American public. Let's get a little bit broader in scope when we come back, and let's talk about where we sit today with everything. When we come back, we'll talk more with Les Velez of Opus about where we sit as a public with everything, and whether we're traumatized as a public when it comes to the alien phenomena. We'll talk about that when we come back next here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Our guest is Les Velez. He is the head of Opus. And we are talking about, well, we're talking about trauma today. Trauma as far as the alien phenomena goes. And we're talking about trauma in a wide scope today. We're talking not only about a couple of recent news articles that came out, one from Luis Elizondo talking about how he doesn't feel safe. Being a whistleblower, he feels like his life is in danger, as a matter of fact. We're talking about recent events in the news, MUFON with this conference coming up, and that they're going to unveil real evidence of a UAP, real solid evidence, coming up in July. But we're going to widen our scope a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about the last couple of years with AARO, with the meetings that were on Capitol Hill, and the fact that real people came forward and tried to submit evidence to Sean Kirkpatrick in the AARO meetings. The fact that videos were unveiled, the fact that all of this was rolled out less, and then all of a sudden it went from, give us all your information, we want more and more and more, we want to dissect all of this, to all of a sudden less, it was, you know what? We're not going to release any more videos because there's top secret stuff on there. So we're not going to put that out anymore. We're going to stop that. And you know what? You know, the whistleblowers we have had, we don't know that they're necessarily viable. And we don't know that they, you know, we have certain problems with putting them in skiffs because we don't know that their records are valid. And all of a sudden, we get the same old excuses. And then a list comes out on Friday as to why these UAPs may not be UAPs. And it's the same old stuff. It's swamp gas. It's all this other stuff. And we get all the same crap, Les. I'm just going to put it out on the table. It's all the same crap we've gotten over the past 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kirkpatrick was put in a position to basically tamp it down. It's ridiculous, you know, they have not been forthcoming. They continue to do what they've done, try to, discredit, you know, these whistleblowers and things of that nature. So, I'm not surprised at that. And it's unfortunate, certainly, And I know that, you know, people in Congress are still diligently trying. I mean, that congressional hearing just blew me away simply because of how bipartisan it was. Mm-hmm. You had the Democrats and the Republicans, most of which were always fighting each other, especially the individuals that were in that room. And they were all in agreement.
Yeah.
We got to get to the bottom of this. We got to understand what's going on. Who's in charge here? Who's running the show? Who's pulling the strings? You know, you know, you mentioned something about the fact that, you know, the populace, you know, is this something that the majority of people are very comfortable with, that they don't really want to know about this, you know, this conscious dissonance that's going on? You know, they get up in the morning, they have breakfast, they go to work, they come home at night, they have a beer, have some dinner, watch something on TV, go to bed, next day the same routine. They could care less about this because they got to put food on the table, take care of their family. You and I are fortunate that we can have discussions like this.
Yeah.
You know, thank God we're in the United States of America, that we can still talk this way. Depending on who gets in as president, that might change. That's a whole nother topic. But, you know, confidentiality, okay, is important to these experiencers. I mean, most of the time, you know, initial phases of what's going on with them is that they think they're going crazy. They may go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist and they find out they don't have a psychopathology. They're totally sane. So then what? Well, you normally can't talk to your spouse because they think you're crazy. You can't talk to your fellow workers. You can't talk to your clergy. Look what happened to Chris Bledsoe. You know, he was a deacon in his church and everything, and he tells his story about, you know, seeing this female entity, right, the lady in white, and the members of the church basically almost cast him out, thinking he was crazy, he was possessed by demons, okay?
Right.
I mean, it gets to be so complicated that these people don't have a place to turn. So therefore, they don't want to have it go public in most cases. They want to keep it secret. But then they still need help. They need to be able to unload. They need to understand that they're not alone, that there's other people that are having similar experiences. And that's one of the things that Opus has been able to create for them, is a safe place, confidential place, where they can talk to other experiencers. It's an online support group. And we have almost 400 people from around the world. I mean, this is a worldwide phenomenon. It's just not happening here in the United States. It's all over.
Yeah.
And it depends on the country, whether or not people are recognizing these things, where in the UK, they seem to be more open to it. They're starting to have very good discussions about it. France, on the other hand, they kind of keep it low key. They don't come out and, you know, really help these people most of the time. So, but anyway, I'm probably getting off topic here. But
no,
bottom line, I think 70% of the people in the United States, if President Biden, okay, or President Trump, whoever it may be, comes out and says, "Yep, we're dealing with these aliens, and here they are. Here's a picture of them, and, you know, blah 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 blah." I think most of us would be okay, you know, especially if they're not, you know, blowing up things or trying to kill us. But there's 30% that might have a real issue with this, especially the ultra religious groups that may have a problem with this. But these ETs believe that there is some kind of source, as they call it, that has been able to create a lot of things, including them. So getting back to religion, you know, you go back in the Bible and you see all these stories about Ezekiel and, you know, this craft coming down, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's rife with all these stories that you would connect with the ancient aliens, you know, coming to the planet.
I've always maintained, Les, that we've been gently massaged, not just by Hollywood, not just by the government, but even by the Vatican. I mean, the Vatican, what was it? It was 5 years ago, 10 years ago now, the Vatican said something to the effect of, "Oh, well, if, you know, if an alien did come down, we'd bless it, or we'd uh-huh. you know, we'd welcome them as their celestial brother." It, you know, and, yeah. and we'd, you know, we'd, what was it? Something to the effect of you know, they'd welcome them in, and they wouldn't teach them the gospel, but essentially it would, you know, they welcome them in as a brother of Christ, something to that effect. So the fact of the matter is there's a gentle massaging here. The fact is that although it's all talked about in hypotheticals, it's like everybody knows something, mm-hmm. but they're not dealing with the issue because they don't want to alarm anyone. Again, it's a traumatic thing. But again, I'll also maintain this, and then I'll throw it back in your court, much to what you just addressed. There's a minority in this country that if a little green man jumped on your backyard and jumped on your front loader like they did in Las Vegas, you're either going to be scared shitless and you're going to stare at it, or you're going to go run in the house and grab your shotgun. It's one or the other. Trauma makes a person do weird things.
Oh, yeah.
You're either fight or flight, one or the other. There's only two choices in that situation.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes not just our government, but if there is a shadow government, that's an if and a big one. That's what's keeping them from saying, you know what? Yeah, we're working with them and here they are and here's the picture, like you said, and we have an agreement with them, but you know what? That agreement allows you to have an iPhone in your hand, or that agreement allows us to have AI, or that agreement mm-hmm. allows us to have all these really cool toys. And you wouldn't have a microwave in your house, and you wouldn't have all this other stuff if it weren't for that. So that's what keeps them from spilling their guts. Does that sound on the up and up?
Well, you know, I think that basically in this realm that almost anything is possible. You know, Haim Meshed, this retired general of the Israeli army that came out with his book and talked about the fact that, yeah, we're dealing with these entities and they don't think we're ready to you know, be outed, if you will. Mm-hmm. The human population is just not ready yet. But that we have bases on the moon, we have bases on Mars, and you wonder why the Space Force has come to be.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, there's stories about the fact that our Space Force has been operating for quite a while, way before Trump said anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing stuff that the possibilities are endless as far as what it is or why it is. You know, look what's going on at Skinwalker Ranch. I mean, these guys are scientifically trying to look at the phenomena and understand it. And they're still scratching their heads. And they'll probably be scratching their heads for a lot longer. You know, they'll be able to drag this series out for years.
Oh, sure. Sure. And even then, I'd love to have the guys on the show someday, but even then, when you look at everything that's on television, you can't tell me that everything that's on television isn't there without a wink and a nod from the government. I mean, come on. I mean, Les, between you, I, and a whole bunch of thousands of people listening here today.
Yeah, the slow drip method, you know, we'll okay this program, you know, to be put out there. Yeah, well, that's well known that they've been involved for years, you know, with the film industry. And, you know, now you have this Hollywood Disclosure Alliance that got set up, and we're putting together people from Hollywood and also investigators and people like myself. I'm actually a member of the organization. And, you know, the impetus basically is to have another group that's trying to get to the bottom of this whole thing and facilitate, you know, whether it's movies, whether it's TV shows, you name it, trying to get the word out. And so it's happening. And there's a reason why it's happening is because they, whoever they are saying, people, let's do this. You need to start this organization. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're being communicated with. I mean, I've been doing this over 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when I say to myself, okay, I've had enough. I'm going to go play golf or do something else.
Yeah.
And I get pulled back in. I get a phone call. They won't let me stop what I'm doing. And I believe that I'm being guided to do what I'm doing, you know? And so whoever they are, you know, it's certainly not the government. I don't believe that at all. Hmm. But some other force, if you will, that's causing me to continue to do what I'm doing. And so I think that's what's going on now in a lot of cases where people, and I don't know if I said this on your last show, but I believe that we've all had an experience, whether we consciously recollect it or not. And, you know, you go back to 1992 when the Roper Organization put out that survey that Bigelow was involved with, Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs. There were 6 million people that had experiences in the United States. Now, fast forward, this is a worldwide phenomena, and millions and millions of people. And when you say that these people, when they come back, have a totally different worldview, a lot of them come back and say, hey, we need to be better stewards of the planet. We need to, these are all really positive kind of things. And if we all wake up one day and everybody's been taken, had an experience, and come back with that feeling, we wouldn't have wars. We yeah. wouldn't have any wars anymore. Yeah. This would be a dead issue. You know, we'd all get along. Come on, everybody, let's get along. You know, it's fascinating to me that I think there is a definite process going on that, and you're doing what you're doing. And by the way, Tim, thank you for what you do, because it's very important that you're getting the word out on a lot of different topics. But this one especially, I think is super important. So thank you.
Oh, sure.
For what
yeah,
you do.
Absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure. I like to deal in topics that have a little higher resonance. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And ones that will make you think, I guess, and ones that will that resonate not only with the heart but the mind too. So this topic fascinates me in that, you know, I wonder at times with this topic in particular, and in bringing you on the show, if the trauma comes from not the phenomena, but if it comes from the people who are trying to steer us away from the phenomena, you know right. what I mean? So is it that we're seeing these ships in the sky? Is it that we're having the interaction with whatever the being is behind the phenomena? Or is it the people who are trying to keep us away from the phenomena?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. That's a good question. It could be all the above. It could be, depending upon where and when something is happening, who happens to be involved, what groups happen to be involved. I mean, you know, you see a crash scene, you know, an automobile crash scene, and, you know, the first responders there, and then the fire trucks show up, and then the police cars show up, and then the ambulances show up, and it's multiple levels of something going on. And the wrecking crew comes and it gets the cars out of their way. Same thing is going on with this phenomenon. I mean, we have multiple entities that are involved, and they all have their agendas. Some of them are good, and probably others are, you know, to the detriment of what we're trying to accomplish, whether it's quote unquote disclosure or confirmation. So hopefully the forces of good will defeat the forces of evil. And that we can actually come to a conclusion where everybody is on the same side. And we can only hope and pray, because, you know, it's been a crazy world here the last year. with politics. Oh my God. It's just, you know, how, just, I mean, just that point alone, I mean, where you have a group of people that feel that the last election was stolen, okay, versus the people that say it was totally fair. There was no evidence that it was stolen. There was no evidence. But then again, it depends on who's in control and what, you know. So it's like, who do you believe, you know? And only thing you can work with is, for me, it's my gut. If I feel, you know, that I'm in danger, you know, I run the other way. If I'm okay and comfortable, then I keep going. But my gut has served me very well over the years. And it's the same thing with talking with people and listening to stories. I remember when I first got started doing investigations, and I was a nuts and bolts kind of guy, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And the first person that said to me, well, I had contact with non-human intelligences, and I looked at him and said, okay. And I kind of disregarded it to a certain degree. But then the second person, the third person, started saying the same thing. And I'm saying, oh, my God, there's something going on here, folks. And it's important that we understand what it is, number one, and then to be able to help these people that are having these experiences, which generally in the early stages is quite traumatizing. Over time, they come to accept it. And then in the later stages, it's almost like the Stockholm syndrome. Why aren't you taking me anymore?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because they've grown to understand what's going on and accept it. So it's very difficult to say that it's all these experiences are bad or they're all good. It's a process, and it's a spiritual process that their consciousness changes. I mean, it's a whole different ball game that they come out the other end on.
Let me ask you this. When you look at, it's always been said that these aliens are supposed to be coming down and saving us from ourselves, right? But you mm-hmm. look at conflicts worldwide, and there are, at any time on this planet-wide, less. I mean, we're always a planet at war. There's over 200 conflicts on this planet at any given time. It seems like we're always at war with each other. So mm-hmm. why would an alien presence want to try and clean up behind us? Why would they always want to try and take our nuclear weapons? Why would they always clean up behind us, if the fact of the matter is that no matter what, we're always going to want to try and pick up a rock, a stick, or something else, and throw it at each other?
Well, I think it's a process that's ongoing with the human race that these aliens are dealing with, where they're constantly basically abducting people, millions of people. These people are coming back with a different worldview. So hopefully these people eventually will get into positions of being able to control certain agendas. And that our whole worldview will change, and that we won't have over 200 conflicts, you know, happening always. That they'll start to subside. And that there'll be a whole different focus on, hey, we're screwing up our planet. You know, we're running out of resources. We are running out of good air to breathe. You know, our planet is heating up. We're not going to be able to cool ourselves down because we won't be able to power the air conditioning systems anymore. I mean, it's a disaster that's about to happen. But I think inevitably we'll be able to save our butts and deal with what's going on in the world. And I think it's going to boil down to, people are just going to have to say, hey, if we're going to survive, we have to stop doing what we're doing and change how we operate. And it's got to happen, or else we will be the last civilization here. And the whole, and Mother Nature will take over. I mean, it will. I mean, look at all the storms that are going on now. Mm-hmm. You know, the flooding, the tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis. Mother Earth can just wipe out the whole nine yards in a flash.
Ultimately, Mother Earth is going to make us work together, because it's going to end up ganging up on us. I mean, we're going to end up having to work together to get through natural disasters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, one way or another, we'll end up finding human nature and finding out that we are good, and we're going to have to work together one way or another.
Yeah, it's so enlightening or gratifying to see when disaster does strike an area, how the people come together.
Yeah.
Forget the politics, forget everything else. Let's deal with the problem and help each other.
Yeah.
That's great. That's wonderful. Unfortunately, that karma doesn't last, you know, and we go off and we start, you know, talking crazy politics. We're talking about all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, but anyway.
It's what's the saying, Les? Idle hands make the devil's work. Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And it's when we have idle time on our hands that we start to bicker about senseless things. But it's when we're faced with adversity that we tend to come together, and it's, mm-hmm. it seems like we don't, I'm just jumping on my soapbox for a quick minute, but we don't consider enough things adverse enough that we don't come together enough. And I guess that's all I've got on my plate. But I guess as we start to wrap things up here today, Les, let's deal with the trauma part of this and bring it back to the original reason we came together today, and that's this. If people are going through trauma from a paranormal event, not necessarily an alien event, but a paranormal event, how can they get a hold of you and your organization and get some help for this?
Very, very easily. If they go to opusnetwork.org, Opus Network, one word, opusnetwork.org, there is a support button on there in multiple places where you just click on that. We ask you a few questions, basically your email address, and we'll get in contact, and you have choices. If you want to be part of the support group, or if you want an EST member to contact you, our EST is a triage group, experiencer support team, that is very familiar with many of the topics that we deal with and are able to talk with the person and find out, you know, how best to help them. And then, of course, we have a referral network of mental health practitioners and hypnotherapists that if the person is looking for that kind of help, we can also point them in that direction. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, a group. We're on YouTube. If you go to Opus Separate Word Network, you can see our videos there, the interviews that I've done actually with people. We're on Instagram, and we're always looking for therapists, whether it's a licensed therapist, a certified hypnotherapist, and we're always looking for people to partake in our studies. We're always looking for control people that have not had an experience, but you might be interested in the topic. And so you can go to our website, and there's a contact button there that you can click on and tell us about what you'd like to have happen at that point.
So it's not just someone who's gone through an alien experience. If you're going through an extreme haunting, if you're going through something that is by all means.
I mean, the paranormal covers so much ground. Okay.
Yeah.
Whether it's poltergeist activity, ghosts, Kundalini awakening, spiritual awakening, obviously contact with non-human intelligences, demonic types of things. As it's turned out, most of the people that end up contacting us are people that have had contact with non-human intelligences, UFO type cases, mm-hmm. For whatever reason, which is, interesting to me. But
Have you had people contact you as far as, like, say, they're living out in a rural area, had an issue with a cryptid, like, say, Sasquatch?
Well, as a matter of fact, I mean, there's a lot of cases where not only people are seeing a Sasquatch, but also a UFO in relationship
right.
to that
yeah.
experience.
Yeah.
Yes, we definitely had people come into us. We haven't had that many Bigfoot, Sasquatch type people come to us. I think there's so many sites out there that probably are probably better equipped to handle that. But we haven't had a lot of that.
Okay.
But we certainly have had people tell us about the fact that, yeah, I saw this UFO, and then around the corner is this big creature that got hair all over it. It's not a bear.
Wow. Interesting stuff. So, again, folks, if you're looking for some assistance, some help, someone to talk to, and you have been involved in a paranormal incident, by all means, click the link in the description of this program and get a hold of Opus so that you can have someone who believes in you be able to sit down and talk with you about that incident. Les Velez, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tim. I really appreciate it. It's always fun to be with you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to thank Les Velez for being on the program today. Again, if you're looking for help, if you've had some sort of paranormal experience, and a negative one at that, and you're looking to reach out to somebody, anybody to talk to, or you need help with that experience, Opus is the place to go. Contact Opus through their website. There's a link in the description of this program to get that help. Do so right now. I highly recommend it. You're talking about experts in the field that work with Opus, people like Linda Moulton Howe and many, many others that have just a treasure trove of information that you can lean on and depend on, that can help you, that are there at the drop of a hat. It's just a wonderful organization. And I've sent many people to Opus that have asked me, you know, where do you go for help? They're one of the first organizations that I recommend people turn to, not just for help with alien encounters, but for any paranormal encounter, whether it be ghosts, demonic, poltergeist, whatever it be. Opus really is the place that you should turn to. They have a treasure trove of not just psychological, but paranormal help as well. So they really are a very, very good organization. Not only are we coming up on the weekend, folks, but today is Independence Day. It really is one of my favorite holidays. You know, as a child, just if I can wax nostalgic for a moment, as a child, this was really one of my favorite days because it was a day that my grandfather got excited about. You know, he fought two tours in World War II. He was excited for it because really this was a day he earned. And I don't take that lightly. Both he and his brothers earned this day. And his brother-in-law earned this day. You know, I have people all up and down my family that have served for this country and fought for their freedom. I've always been a 4F kind of guy. I can't pretend that I've been that brave. But I have friends who have fought for our country. And again, I thank every single one of you who have. Men and women who have gone over and even here stateside who have put in their time and served their country and made that sacrifice. I appreciate every single thing you've done to continue fighting for our independence. Again, freedom isn't free. And I realize that you may say, well, Tim, this is Independence Day. This happened way back in, you know, the fight with Britain. This isn't about, you know, things that we've done since. But I really think on a day like today, we need to reflect on every single battle we've had to maintain our independence. And going forward, every day is a battle for our independence. Again, freedom isn't free. I don't mean to stand on the soapbox and beat you over the head on an important day where we celebrate our freedom, but our freedom is always at stake. just keep that in the back of your head. Your freedom is always at stake. Every single day. Never take it for granted. Always, always fight for it. And with that, always remember that that person to your left or that person to your right is a fellow American. They're never the enemy. We treat each other like we're the enemy in this country. We never should. We're not the enemy. That's your fellow brother or sister there. And I think we need to remember that come November, that we're all in this together. That's important too. That's all. That's all I've got. On this day where we're celebrating together, let's just remember we're all in it together. That's all. And let's have some fun today. Let's go out and have a burger or a hot dog or maybe even a salad if you're not eating meat or an impossible something or another. Let's blow off a few fireworks. I know it's hard on the pets. Let's give them a thunder blanket or something. I know it's hard on my chippers. It's hard on my bunnies. It's hard on my birds. But let's go out and have some fun tonight, because it is that night. And tomorrow, the 5th, let's still remember that we're still all in this together, because we're all in it just more than one day. And tomorrow, go out and do something nice for one another and continue doing something nice for one another and keep being in this for each other. There's a lot of severe weather out there. Boy, I see this Hurricane Beryl coming in from Jamaica. That's probably going to hit the U.S. There's going to be a lot of us that are going to need to be there for each other. Just keep being there for each other, guys. That's all. Lots of good things on the horizon. A reminder, folks, just in our little world here, Darkness Radio world, that video and audio are coming out. The video for this interview here that you heard today with Les Velez should be up momentarily. So you should be able to see the video from this particular interview shortly. But keep looking for video of the audio when you go to the archives on darknessradioshow.com. That's the only place you'll be able to see it, darknessradioshow.com. So there you go. But that's about it for this week. Also, keep checking the shop section of darknessradioshow.com for some new items and some swag and some changes. Also, I'll be adding some stuff to the blog over there at darknessradioshow.com. So some neat little things just to check out as you head into the holiday weekend. That's about it. Thank you so much, guys, for continuing to listen to this show. Again, I am so grateful and appreciative to you for continuing to spend your hard-earned time here and listening to the programs that we put out here. They're put together with a great amount of effort and love for you and appreciation for you. And again, if you have a topic you want to hear, send it in to me, tim@darknessradio.com, and I'll be sure to follow up and get that topic here on the air. Also, if you have a story for us or a Parashare story, tim@darknessradio.com. Or if you have a Parashare story and you want to hear your own voice on air, go to darknessradioshow.com. Click on that blue button. Leave us a voice note. You got 2 minutes to do so. If you need more time, click on it again. Leave us another 2 minutes. I'll stitch them together. We'll put it right here on the show. We'll see you next week. We've got another great week, True Crime Tuesday. Supernatural news and another great guest right here on the best in true crime and paranormal podcasting. You're listening to Darkness Radio.